بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد علماء الكرام beloved brothers and elders رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة that person who will recite درود once upon Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will in return send down 10 blessings upon him let us all recite درود شريف اللهم صلي على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Under the commentary of the verse, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ Mufassirin have written that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a particular disbeliever who whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged people towards the recitation of the Qur'an-i-Kareem, listening to the revelation of the Qur'an-i-Kareem, then there are two tafsirs which are mentioned. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has made mention of both. That either he had bought a girl or a slave who would have a melodious voice and he would distract the people and say, instead of listening to Quran Sharif, listen to the melodious voice and the singing of this girl. Or Mufassirin have written that he had bought novels. And whenever the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged people towards reciting the Qur'an-i-Kareem, listening to Qur'an-i-Kareem, he would say to the people, why you want to listen to that? Rather read my novels, you will be more entertained by my novels. But from this incident we learn that in every era and in every time, shaitan will use certain items, certain gadgets, certain tools, through which he will take people away from their object and purpose and creation, by virtue of which he will take people away from their ultimate goal. And today is no different to then. In that time, it might have been novels, it might have been a singing girl. In today's time, and what we are going to discuss in this very short while, is this gadget that we carry with us 24/7, and that is a cell phone. It's a very lengthy discussion. We're going to break it up into three different parts. One is symptoms and signs of cell phone addiction. Number two, the harms of cell phone addiction. And number three, the solutions and the way forward. When we speak about the signs of cell phone addiction, references will be made to different intoxicants, to different drugs, to maybe cigarettes, maybe alcohol. I don't condone it, and Allah Ta'ala must forgive me for having to speak about it in the masjid. But it's only to give you a better example of what I am trying to say. So what are the signs of a cell phone addict? The first sign, now this is a self-diagnosis. We've got to analyze ourselves. Is this found in me or not? Do I suffer from this problem or not? So the first sign of a cell phone addict is he references his phone without the need to. So it's simple. You got a phone call, you answered your call. Your phone beeped, you got a message, you read your message. It's like somebody who's addicted to cigarettes. And again, I'm saying this, I'm not justifying it. I only want you to understand my point. Like somebody who's addicted to cigarettes. You get a chain smoker. So whether he has an urge or not, whether he has a craving or not, but he has to light a cigarette. So he'll be speaking to somebody, he'll have a cigarette and he'll be, it might just be on the side and the flame is burning away. And after the entire discussion, he didn't even take one puff and the cigarette is finished. So why did you light a cigarette in the first place? It's because he's addicted to the cigarette and he has to have it. He has to see the smoke. You know, on a lighter note, one day somebody asked one alim, will there be cigarettes in Jannah or not? So he said, if there's cigarettes in Jannah, then you'll have to go to Jahannam for a light. So a cell phone addict, he has to have his phone in his hand. So there's no new message. His phone didn't ring. Now he's reading old messages. So boy, you read the group chat once, but now you're reading it again. You read the joke once already, now you're laughing for the same joke the second time. Husband and wife had an argument, the argument is finished, they reconciled, peace, everything, but he's reading the whole argument again now. So he references and he accesses his phone for absolutely no reason. That is the first sign. The second sign of a cell phone addict is he always wants a better gadget. So he's got a phone, but he's constantly plotting and planning how I can get a better gadget. Now, why would you want a better gadget? So as I was walking into the masjid, I met one youngster and his name was Muawiyah. I didn't know him, so I'm going to use M as an example. I'm not marketing any cell phone company or any particular brand. So somebody has an M1, then he gets an M2 and an M3 and an M4 and an M5 and an M6 and an M7 and an M8. Now you ask yourself the question, what can an M8 do that the M1 cannot do? You see, it's like a drug addict. He always wants a higher dosage. So somebody started off from hookah, and then he went to a vape, and then he went into cigarettes, and an entry-level drug, he went into dafa, and from there it goes on and on and on and on. So, I counseled a patient, for an example, who was addicted to Edcodol. Edcodol is a painkiller. At the time when he came to me, he was having 40 tablets a day. So the same thing. So now, a person has the M1, and then he wants it. There's two scenarios. One is 24 months, your contract expired, you're due for the new gadget. Well and good, you take it. But this is somebody who's constantly plotting and planning. So he's got all the different books in front of him. If I buy this one, and I sell this one, and so many minutes, and I contract it this way, and SMSs and data, this is a good deal, here's my new phone. But why? Why does he constantly need a better gadget?
Welcome to Radio Islam.
Yes, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Very interesting piece of advice we're listening to there. It's 19 past 11. You're listening to the conversation. This morning, as part of the conversation, we're playing for you out a bayan, really informative. As you've been listening there, we're going to continue with that in a few moments' time. But just to keep you in touch, the speaker is Maulana Ridwan Rawat, and it's all about cell phone addiction. This is something that we have discussed on the conversation. Ijaz and I have discussed it many times. We've looked at many angles. But we thought today we'll just play out, look at it from a different alim's perspective and what's his take on the matter. We know, of course, it's bad. But when we listen to the, you know, insight and research done by the various scholars, it just opens up new avenues. It sheds more light on the matter. So yes, the topic or the discussion this morning is cell phone addiction. Let's listen to this piece of advice. We continue. It's Maulana Ridwan Rawat, and it's all about cell phone addiction.
Radio Islam, your favorite learning station.
أنتم تستمعون إلى إذاعة الإسلام.
There's two reasons. Number one, the graphics are sharper, and number two, the processor is faster. That is the only two reasons. Now there's a very close link. There's a very close link, and out of respect for the seniority in the masjid, I have deliberately omitted this from the discussion, but pornography stimulates that part of the brain that crack cocaine stimulates. Remember this. Pornography stimulates that part of the brain that crack cocaine stimulates. So now, with the M1, it stimulates your brain to a point. And then your brain is now used to it. So you need a faster phone with sharper graphics. So now you move on to an M2. And then it doesn't do the job. It's not stimulating your brain again. So you move to an M3, and then an M4, and then an M5, and then an M6. So although I have omitted pornography from the discussion, let us take heed. If we are involved, let us get help. Because we are dealing with cases of people who are grandfathers, and is addicted to a woman behind a screen. Allah Ta'ala save us. So this is the second sign of a cell phone addict. He constantly wants a better device. He constantly wants a better gadget. Number three, you know, in the past, somebody lost his job. So the brother will come to you and he'll say, Maulana, you know, I just lost my job. Please, can you speak to my boss? Tell him to make a plan. I need my job back. So as courtesy, you know the individual, you say, all right, let's try and help him. So you go to his boss and you say, brother, you know, this he's been working for you, he's given you service for many years, you've dismissed him, please, man, help him out. And the boss will say to you, he'll say, Maulana, I can give him his job back, but ask him to come with sober habits, please, man. Every Monday he's sick, somebody died, he's got a family function, but it's nothing. If he's at job on a Monday, he's either hangover, he's getting over from the weekend, or he's not there at all. Ask him to come with sober habits and then we can help him. Today, the scenario has changed. A youngster will lose his job and he'll say to you, Maulana, please, man, speak to my boss, I need my job back. And you try and help him. And you speak to the boss and you say, brother, please, man, this guy lost his job, help him. Say, Maulana, I'll help him, ask him to leave his cell phone at home. I'll help him, ask him to leave his cell phone at home. Why? Because he's in dispatch, he's in receiving, there's goods coming, there's goods going, but he's busy on his phone. So like a drug addict, all that matters to him is his drug. His job is not important, his family is not important. What is important for him is his habits. A cell phone addict, all that matters to him is his device. His job is not important. How many of us seated here know very well that is against company policy to access your phone while you're at work? And how many of us do it? Why? Why? Because we are addicted to our gadgets. We can't leave it. A relationship means nothing. Our wives means nothing. As long as I got my gadget. So we're now dealing with the scenario where a sister will come and she'll say, Maulana, you know, I'm perfectly happy in my marriage, but this man can't leave his device. How many of us seated here today, the most difficult question I'll ask you, and maybe the most difficult you'll ever be asked till the day you reach your grave, your wife or your cell phone? If I had to be asked that question today, make a choice. Either you choose your wife or you choose your phone. I don't want to know the answer, but we know within our hearts what the answer will be. And it works both ways. So we have brothers who have this complaint and they say, Maulana, but my wife is only on her phone. I'm ready to make this marriage work if this woman can give up her device. And you speak to the sister and you say, sister, but your husband is irritated by your bad habit, man. You just can't leave the phone. And you know what the sister say? No, Maulana, we're checking recipes, man, recipe group. And then we say, sister, you're so busy checking recipes, there's no time to cook. They're so busy checking recipes, there's no time to cook in the house. But this is it. So our families mean nothing. Our jobs mean nothing. All that matters to us is our devices and our gadgets. Just like a drug addict. He's ready to give up his job. He's ready to give up his family. He's ready to give up everything. He's ready to give up everything. But he will not give up his device. And then we have another sign. You know, when anybody is trying to leave his addiction, then we have what we call withdrawal symptoms. Now, withdrawal symptoms will differ from the type of drug that a person is addicted to. So sometimes withdrawal symptoms are mental, so it's all in the mind. But when somebody is addicted to opiates, then the withdrawal symptoms become physical. So if anybody had this experience, and Allah Ta'ala protect and save every one of us, but it's a reality. If you ever came into contact with an addict, or you know of an addict who's struggling with his addiction, then you will see his hands start shaking. And he starts moving uncontrollably. He doesn't have control over himself. This is withdrawal symptoms. Now, with cell phone addiction, we also have withdrawal symptoms. In fact, there was a study that was done at one of the universities, and the professor there had coined up a term which he called nomophobia. Nomophobia. It's the phobia of not having your cell phone gadget with you. So, a person starts his salah, and I'll give you an example of withdrawal symptoms. So a person will start his salah and he'll say, Allahu Akbar. And the imam starts his reading in his beautiful melodious voice. And here we got this brother who now realized that he doesn't have his cell phone on him. He imagine he's standing in salah. The closest a person can get to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and his hands start moving uncontrollably. What's happening, brother? You're standing in the masjid. You're standing in salah. You're standing in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But you see, what's this? Withdrawal symptoms. Like an addict, his hands start shaking and start moving. He also starts shaking and moving in salah now. See, what happened? I was at the bank today. I left it at the counter. No. At home, the helper is there. He's still in the yard. Maybe he got it. Then finished. Now he's absolute perspiration because he forgot his phone at home. It's on charge and there's no password also. Now his namaz is gone. He doesn't have any concentration left in his salah. There's nothing left of that salah. The moment the imam made the first salam, he's standing up. By the time the imam made the second salam, he's out of the masjid already. Why? He needs to have his device. What happened if we didn't have it for 5 minutes? What will happen if we don't have it for 10 minutes? But it's withdrawal symptoms. I have to have my gadget. That's it. A drug addict doesn't care about his family. He doesn't care about the repercussion of his actions. So we've seen drug addicts do drastic things. Last year, Qurbani, we had an episode where a son wanted to slaughter his own father. Why? Because he's so involved and he's so intoxicated and he's so addicted to the substance, he can't see mother from father, he can't see Arthur from Martha, he knows nothing. So now we go into a house and this man walks in and he goes to his room and the dressing table is upset and it's thrown. It's chaos in the house. The children are scared in one corner. The wife is perspiring, she's pacing up and down the passage. This man goes into his cupboard. He empties his entire cupboard. He's swearing at his wife. He's swearing at his children. My children are reckless. My children don't behave. They've got no manners. My wife is irresponsible. I leave her here for one day and this is what happens. And then you walk into the home and you calm the situation and you ask the husband, you say, brother, but what's troubling you? Maulana, I can't find my charger. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You can't find your charger? So your wife is irresponsible? Your children are irresponsible? Nobody is allowed to touch your cupboard? Nobody goes near your plug? Nobody touches your charger? It's 9, 18, 24 karat gold? It's not supposed to be misplaced? It's just like a drug addict who's looking for his stash. He'll throw and he'll upset the operation of an entire home. But he needs his drug. A cell phone addict will disrupt the entire house, but he needs his charger. You know, I marvel. People have two phones. And I say, brother, but you can't speak on two phones. I mean, you can't simultaneously at one given moment be speaking on two phones. What's the need to carry two phones? You answer one and... So this is... Now, a drug addict and a self, you know, previously, people would drink. And I'm not, again, as I've mentioned in my opening introduction, I'm going to make certain references. I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it's the right thing. In fact, with the help of Allah Ta'ala, I'm involved in a support group and we try and help people with this type of addictions. And that's why I have a little understanding of it. But previously, people would go to a shabin and a bar and he would park his car off. And they say don't drink and drive, but all bars have parking lots. It's still yet to be understood why. But he'll have whatever he wants to and he'll go home and that's it. Today it's changed. Everybody is drinking everywhere. So previously there was a plug and then you plugged your charger in and you charged your phone. Whenever your phone went flat, it went flat well and good. When you reached the charger, you charged it. Today everybody's got a power bank. So, when you look at him also, it almost looks like he's got a bottle of Castle Lager in his pocket. You know, he's going to one side. You say, but what's happening? He said, no, it's a power bank. So, what's the purpose of a power bank? His phone has to remain charged 24 hours. Why? Because he controls the universe, man. If his phone dies, the whole world collapses. He has to have his phone 24 hours. He's actually, you see, there's a nomophobia. He's actually got a fear that his battery will die. So he's got a backup in his pocket. I mean, a car charger was reasonable. Then another thing, the Department of Transport will put up 150,000 boards across South Africa. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and drive. And a person who's addicted to alcohol will still drink and drive. They'll put 300,000 boards. Don't text and drive. Don't text and drive. But a cell phone addict is not bothered about his life. He's not bothered about the life of his children. He's not bothered about the life of commuters. He's not worried about the lives of fellow men on the road. If he needs to reply to a message, he will do it while he's driving. Why? Why? If a person on the other end is too dumb to understand you driving and you'll respond to his message at the time when you can, then he doesn't deserve a reply. We risk our lives, we risk everybody else's lives, but we won't give up our gadgets. We will not give up our gadgets. You know, I was amazed. I had to meet with a particular brother, and maybe we should end off on the symptoms of cell phone addiction. And a lot of the harms have come into it. Let's move on to the solution, which is more and it's quite important. The solution is simple. We need to draw the line. Eating time is eating time. Family time is family time. Namaz time is namaz time. You know, cell phones have connected us to people around the world and disconnected us from those around us. I was involved very recently in a marriage issue. Imagine this. The brother is from South Africa. The lady is from Australia. They have an affair in Dubai. He's from South Africa. She's in Australia. They have an affair in Dubai. And what is his wife's complaint? My husband doesn't speak to me. So he can communicate to a woman on the other side of the globe, but he can't speak to his own wife. We can chat to our friends which are sitting on different parts of the world. We can't communicate to our children. I counseled a 32-year-old recovering addict, and he said to me, he said, Maulana, I'm 32 years. In the 32 years of my life, I don't know, and I've never heard, and I love you from my father. Allah alone knows on his phone how many I love yous he said to how many people. We have to draw the line. Namaz time is namaz time. What the cell phone has done, how many a times haven't we heard Surah Yasin playing in the toilet? Why? For whatever good reason, the man's got Surah Yasin as his ringing tone. Why, if your wife wants to let you have it, whether it's Suday, Shuraim, Yasin, Tabarak, Ayatul Kursi, doesn't make a difference. And how many times haven't we heard music in the masjid? The cell phone has put Quran Sharif in the toilet and brought music into the masjids. There is no space for phones in the masjids. How many of us have video clips? We've got movies, nude women, semi-nude women, all on our gadgets. We're reading salah with all of that on us. Salah time is salah time. You know, I recently had to meet with somebody who was a non-Muslim. I had some work with him. There was some repair work to be done on my vehicle. And he said to me, when you bring your vehicle, I might not be available. Leave the keys with the ladies at the front desk. So when I went back, I left the keys with the ladies. And I said, if it's possible, can I please meet with Mr. So-and-so? I was amazed by the response. He's a non-Muslim. They said, now is his prayer time. When it's his prayer time, he doesn't take calls, he doesn't take emails, he doesn't answer cell phone calls, he doesn't reply to messages. His prayer time is his prayer time. You can do what you want. If it's very urgent, go somewhere else. But this is the instruction that we've got from him. That prayer time, nobody disturbs me. Now it is time, and he is on batil. He's a disbeliever. What he's doing is haram, is shirk. But he has identified his prayer time as his prayer time. Family time is family time. There is no need to be sitting with your gadget while you're eating. You're eating. I mean, surely the man can wait. You're not going to miss out on any deal. Believe what I'm telling you. You won't miss out on anything. There was a brother who went for an interview and he needed to be a rep for a particular company. And they asked him, you got an email address? He said, no. They said, but in wrapping, you have to have an email address because that's how we use our, you know, orders come in, go out, it's all done via email. He said, well, I don't have one. They said, you don't have the job. So he went home and he bought some tomato seedlings and he planted tomatoes and he eventually had a very big orchard. And one day he was signing up a contract with one of the chain stores. And they asked him, what's your email address? He said, I don't have one. They said, you know how much of business you could have done with the email address? He said, if I had one, I would have been rapping. He said, if I had one, I would have been rapping. Email never brought business. Cell phone never brought business. We have to draw the line. Family time is family time. I mean, how sad? How sad? We can chat to our friends around the world. We can't talk to our wives. We don't have time to speak to our mothers because we're busy on our gadgets. It's a virus. It's spreading in our community. It's ruining homes. If we don't realize, the negative consequence is very, very sad. We've seen it, we experience it, and we're dealing with it. So a lot of the discussion was light-hearted. And I'm saying it again. I've drawn many examples to different addictions and different drugs. I'm not saying it's correct. And Allah must forgive me for speaking about it in the masjid. But it's only to give us a better understanding of what cell phone addiction really is. Brothers, let us realize. Let us come to our senses. We need to go what we call in drug rehabilitation. We need to go cold turkey. There has to be a weekend in a month where we say, look, no cell phones. Not the wife, not the children. One last aspect and my time is up. If we have given our children a device, I cannot run your home, you cannot run my home. I'm not saying it's in the best interest. I can't tell you whether it's the right decision or the wrong decision. But this much I can tell you, that phone has to be taken away at night. You gave him a phone because one day he'll go to school. It will happen on one particular day, the driver won't be there. On that particular day, the landlines will all be shut down. On that particular day, nobody will have their cell phone. And his only means of contacting you will be his own personal phone. Just in case that one day ever happens in his life, you gave him a phone, he doesn't need it at night. And number two, between husband and wife and parents and children, there should be no passwords. I don't believe there should be a need for any passwords. If you've given your daughter Fatima, for example, a phone, you go home now after Jummah and you say, Fatima, I want your phone. I want it opened. If she can't give it to you, there's an area of concern. You've got something to worry about. She's your daughter and she can't be hiding anything from you. You gave your son Muhammad a phone, you go home now after Jummah and you say, Muhammad, give me your phone now. And if he can't give it and he say, Daddy, later after Asr does that, he's hiding something. If your wife asks you for your phone and you cannot give it one shot, you can't take it out of your pocket and say, here it is, you're hiding something from her. If you ask your wife and you say, my darling, can I have your phone? And she says, no, that business doesn't work. You've given your child a phone, at night, take it away. There's no barriers. You must have access to it 24/7. If he can't do that, he's hiding something. Between husband and wife, equally. Salah time, no phone, brother. No phone. I'm not going to say leave it in your car. Tomorrow all the windows in Nurul Islam are broken. They're looking for phones. Keep it in a safe place. You don't need your phone in the masjid. It is a distraction. We're not going to say put it on silent. We're not going to say put it on vibrate. We're going to say take it out of the masjid. We don't want videos in the masjid. We don't want pornography in the masjid. We don't want music in the masjid. There is no room for your gadget. You are in salah and you dedicate your time to salah. I've went over the time limit for a few minutes. Allah Ta'ala help us, guide us, protect us. Brothers, it is a scourge. It's ripping through our community. Let us take heed before it's too late. Allah help us, guide us. Jazakumullah khair.